Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of your congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, written by Joseph Mendel, is entitled One Tree in the Desert.
This is a story about a word. One single word. But first I must tell you what happened. For the word is at the end, and the meaning is lost. In the early days of Abram's life, before the Lord named him Abraham, that is, father of a multitude of nations, and most likely before he married Sarai, he lived in the house of his father, Terah. It happened in those days that the king summoned them, father and son, to appear before him.
It seems that I was mistaken in you, Terah.
Your Majesty, I cannot think in what way I have displeased you.
You're a fine craftsman, Terah. The gods you make in wood or stone or precious metal are superior to all others.
I take pride in my work, sire.
As to your duties as keeper of the royal idols, I have no complaint.
I do my best.
But it seems you don't know how to bring up a son.
My son? Abram has displeased your Majesty?
He has displeased me greatly. How do you permit him to mock the gods, to drag their figures through the dust of the streets?
Your Majesty...
Be still, Abram. I'll get to you later. How is it, Terah, that you cannot make your son respect my gods, whom you serve?
Your Majesty, my father cannot make me worship false gods.
Then I will make you.
Even the king himself cannot command me in this.
You dare to defy me, I'll have you. Abram, for the sake of your father, who is my friend, I will restrain my anger.
I thank you for my father.
Then do as I say and let's be finished with it.
I cannot worship a statue of wood.
Oh. Abram, you seem to be a man of intellect. I'll be franker with you than I might otherwise be. I don't insist that you believe. But for form's sake...
Your Majesty, yesterday in my father's shop, the god Barisat fell into the fire and was burned.
You're being childish, Abram. These things are symbols. Then worship fire, if you like.
Fire is quenched by water.
Oh, don't quibble.
The earth sucks up water, but I do not call it God. Because it is dried by the sun, and the sun's light is obscured by darkness. Your Majesty, shall I call the moon and stars gods?
I'm losing my patience, Abram.
The Eternal is God. The one and only. God who created all things and gilded the sun and gave radiance to the stars and put you on the earth. God who sought me out in the confusion of my thoughts.
I should have known better than to argue with you. You know what I have commanded, Abram.
I will not do it.
Then you will be suitably punished.
The furnace is ready, Your Majesty.
Good. Cut the ropes from Abram.
You're not going to let him escape, sire.
Nobody shall have full freedom to choose. Abram, your legs are no longer bound. Which way do you walk?
I have already given my answer.
You are free to go back to your father's house. Just bend your knees only a little.
You won't do it, sire.
It's too bad. Well?
Guard! Guard! Abram will help us. He'll walk into the fire himself. Won't you, Abram? Come, Abram. You're not an ordinary man. You're a man of principle.
I have no desire to hasten the end of my life.
What? Will not your God save you
from the fire?
I do not presume to know God's intention.
You have little faith. Just think what an opportunity I'm offering you to prove your God's power.
God is eternal. Whether I live or die proves nothing.
You make things difficult, Abram.
The guards are ready, Your Majesty.
And let them do their work.
No, you mustn't!
Do you hear, Abram? Your God will be tested against your will.
My will has...
cannot test God, only Abram.
Who is he?
I don't know, Your Majesty.
Take him away. Now, wait. What do you know about Abram's God, young man?
He's my God. The God who created you and the whole world.
Oh, another one.
I've listened to Abram. He speaks the truth.
I've had enough truth for one day. I'll take him away.
No!
Did you know you had made a convert, Abram?
Go, Bailey.
I want to stay where God is.
Go before he changes his mind.
Let him throw me into the fire, too.
You must not say that. It does not please God that we die. He is a God of life.
How long does it take to open the furnace?
The bricks are still hot, Your Majesty.
What's the crowd waiting for? Dismiss them.
It was your order, sire, that the punishment be a public matter.
I should have done it quickly and in private.
If I may say so, sire, it will be a good lesson for the people.
I didn't ask your opinion. Get the furnace open.
It is told that when the furnace was opened, Abram walked out unharmed, and the people acclaimed it a miracle. Now, the storyteller spoke in the hidden language of poetry, and the meaning is not always simple. Nevertheless, it is true that a thing happened remarkable then as it is now. A man, facing the punishment that a king can inflict, refused to deny his faith. Therefore, the king was afraid. And the people were awed.
Have mercy on us, Abram.
Don't kneel before me.
We are your servants, Abram.
I am not your master. Serve God and walk in his ways.
It will be as you command.
It's not I who command, don't you see? No. No, they don't understand.
Father, I cannot live in your house anymore.
You mean it's not fitting for your God to share a house with mine?
Father, you talk like the king's courtiers about my God and your gods.
Well, Abram, at my age, it's not easy to change my ways.
You don't understand at all.
I'm used to Barisat here and to the god Marumath of pure silver. I offer thanks to them for your deliverance.
Offer a prayer for another son, Father.
My prayers are for all my children, Hara.
I need a special one. The king has now sent for me.
What?
You know, you frightened him, Abram. You should have followed on your advantage.
Now, don't mock your brother, Hara.
You don't change a man's way of living by frightening him.
Don't you? Abram, I'm frightened.
What do they want with you, my son?
I wasn't told, Father. But I think I can guess. The king will offer me the same choice he offered Abram.
Oh, don't make him angry, Haran.
Oh, Father, I'm no hero like Abram. But things are not as simple as they used to be. It's easy enough to please the king.
Then do it and live.
But how can you tell? Maybe Abram's God will not be pleased.
We can't know what the gods are thinking. Haran, the fire is real. Don't take the risk.
But maybe Abram's God will do for me what he did for him. Yes, I will choose Abram's God.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know anymore. What do you think, Abram?
Father, yesterday I was your son and Aaron's brother. We worked together and spoke together. But now it is as if you lived in one world and I in another. I speak one language and you a different one. Aaron, what you are doing is wrong.
Are you jealous of your God, Abram?
No. But you cannot make bargains with God.
I'm following in your steps. You should be pleased.
I did not choose to be thrown into the fire. I refuse to worship false gods. What is your choice?
Abram, I want to live.
Your Majesty, what do you want with my brother?
Is that a way to talk to a king?
What do you want with him?
I suppose, Abram, that you may be permitted certain privileges.
Your grievance is with me. Then deal with me and not with my brother.
My business is neither with you nor with Haran, but with your God.
Be careful or you will exhaust even his patience.
Thank you for the warning. There's something I must know. Is your God a consistent God? Or is he capricious?
He is a God of justice and mercy.
Will he perform a miracle only for you or for anyone? Say, for your brother Haran. Well, Abram?
My brother. He has so little faith.
It is told that Haran came before the king to make his choice. And with an uncertain heart, he announced his adherence to the God of Abram. It is also told how he was destroyed in the sight of the people. And those who had knelt before Abram arose and dusted their knees. And the king was no longer frightened.
My question is answered, Abram.
My brother is dead.
You wouldn't tell me, but Haran answered for you.
You. You were a murderer.
Hold your tongue.
No. No, I'll shout it so the world can hear.
Abram, I warn you, I'm not afraid anymore.
You are afraid. You are afraid of the truth. Afraid that the people will know it.
It's no secret. They know what I did.
I will tell them the truth and they will raise against you because you killed my brother.
How you've changed, Abram. Now you speak like any ordinary man who wants vengeance. Or is this the way of your God?
Oh, Lord. Forgive me.
That's better, Abram. Now, go back to your house and let us both live in peace.
You are very clever. But I will live my way and not yours.
As you like.
And I will teach the people the difference between my way and yours. You cannot stop me from talking to the people.
I have no wish to stop you. Besides, they won't listen to you.
They'll listen to God's words.
Look, Abram, here is Barisat. Your father made this god for me. Solid gold. A god to command respect.
He has eyes, but he can't see. Ears, but he can't hear.
You've left out the most important. A mouth that cannot forbid anything. Abram, your God is always saying no.
You must be an unhappy man.
Don't condescend to me, Abram.
Because to me, it is as if God took me by the hand and set my foot upon a path and said, this way.
Your way, Abram, you make me uneasy.
The guilty are always uneasy.
Whatever I may say about the God Barisat, I know what he is. A chunk of metal or wood, a stone. But you... you really believe what you are saying?
Yes. And I will teach others to believe it.
I doubt it, but you may try.
I do not ask your permission.
In any event, I don't suppose that I could stop you. But I don't believe in taking unnecessary risks. You may speak, but no one else. Whoever else talks as you do will be punished as Haran was punished.
Abram, today tell us about how you were saved from the king.
You ask it each time, Jabel. It seems so important to you.
Well, Well, how else would I... would all of us have come to know God?
That's true.
I said the same things before it happened.
But, Abram, it was a miracle.
That if there had been no miracle, you would not have believed me? Then for you, there would have been no God?
No. I mean, yes. Well, that is...
Peleg, you told me that you no longer worshipped idols.
It's true. I broke them. Every one. Even the new one I had just bought, Ascador.
It's true. And you have made a new idol.
Oh, no, Abram.
Yes? Because you worship the miracle, not God.
Let me stay with you, Abram. Teach me how to know God.
Peleg became Abram's disciple, as did also 300 others of the city. They would come to Abram's house, and he would speak to them, and the king did not disturb them. It may be during this time, a tranquil time, that Abram married Sarai, whose name later was Sarah. In the midst of the quiet days, the voice of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. Abram heard, and he was troubled.
Have I offended, O Lord?
There was no answer, and Abram said,
Surely I have done your work here. 300 souls have I gotten in so short a time.
He waited, but the voice was silent. He walked the street and thought until he came to the marketplace, where he saw Jabal, who turned his head away.
Jabal, it is I, Abram.
You shouldn't have come here, Abram.
Jabal.
It isn't safe.
Abram! Look, all you people, it's Abram.
Be quiet, Peleg.
He's here in the marketplace. Abram is here. Come and listen to him.
Peleg, the king's men will hear you.
Let them. Or better still, let them hear Abram.
What?
Jabal, he's leaving. Abram, where are you going?
You're angry, Abram. But the soldiers were all around. Would you have wanted us to speak out?
How could I? Can I say to you, Jabal, or to you, Peleg, go throw yourselves in the fire?
Then you're not angry anymore, Abram?
No. No, Jabal, I am not angry. But now I understand what we must do. We will leave this country.
What? No!
It is what we were told to do.
Why, this is the land of our fathers, where we were born. Why should we leave? Where will we go?
We will be told the place.
Why can't you be satisfied with what we have?
God is not satisfied, Jabal.
The king permits us to go about our business, to meet and talk together in your house, if not elsewhere. We live in peace here. Why should we go into exile?
Jabal, we are in exile now. The real exile is that we have learned to endure what the king permits.
We'll go with you, Abram.
Speak for yourself, Peleg. I mean, it isn't so simple. We have to talk about it.
What is there to talk about? You have to choose, Jabal.
It isn't easy.
No. It's easier to buy an idol and bow down before it. Is that what you want?
Peleg. Peleg. You mustn't be so hard.
Does he think it's so easy for me, Abram? I have a father, too, and a mother. I've worked hard in my fields to make them green, but I am ready to leave them.
You can't force a man to do what you think is right.
Abram. 300 souls have sat with you and heard the words of God. They will go with you.
Each of you must make his own choice.
You won't stay, Abram?
I cannot, Jabal.
I would not like to live here if you go away.
Abram sat in his house, and he did not see Peleg or Jabal, or any of the 300 men and women who had joined with him in a congregation and talked with God. When the day of departure came, he went out of the city to the place where it was agreed that all would meet to begin the journey. Abram was the first, and he waited. Then a man, one man, came out of the city. and he was Pele.
I'm sorry I'm late, Abram. It wasn't easy to take my leave.
Now they were two, and they waited together as the sun rose in the sky. They waited while the sun descended, and when night came, Peleg spoke.
Maybe they'll come tomorrow, Abram.
No, Peleg. They won't come.
300. Abram, 300, and no one chose to follow you.
You are here?
Let's wait another day. At least until the morning.
Peleg, do you want to go back?
How did you know?
I know. There is still time, Peleg.
Abram, God does not talk to me as he does to you. But I know that I can't go back.
Then I'm happy.
As I look at you, you really are. How strange it is. Anyone else would be overcome by... excuse me, Abram, by his failure.
When I said that I would speak to the people and they would listen, the king laughed.
He knew better than you that you would fail.
But I haven't failed. Peleg, you listened. You are here now.
I'm only one. One out of how many?
One is so important. One is the beginning. Peleg, if we only begin, do you think that God won't help?
I said that this was a story about a word. You will find it in the book of Genesis. And Abram took Sarai and his wife, and Lot, the son of his brother Haran, and the souls that they had gotten, and went forth to go into the land of Canaan. The word is souls. That is, the men and women that Abram won away from idolatry. But if you read the same chapter, the same verse, in Hebrew, in the language in which it was written long ago, the word is soul. One soul. One single man. And this is the meaning. For one is the beginning. We can conquer the desert one tree at a time. We can save the world one soul at a time. For if we only begin, do you think that God won't help?
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Jacob Sinkoff, President of Congregation B'nai Jeshurun and National Treasurer of the United Jewish Appeal. Mr. Sinkoff.
The Saga of Abraham is the classic story of one of the most dramatic personalities of the Bible. A book filled with the giants of our history. In its scope, its broad concepts, and in its almost worldwide ramifications, it rivals the most ambitious tales of literature, old or new. It is the story of a single man who in his own lifetime discovered and promulgated the oneness of God and his eternal sway. He challenged an idolatrous world and revealed the perversion of man-made gods created to suit self-serving conveniences. At the same time, he was not a man living with his head in the clouds, diffident or unaware of the world about him. In his quest for a place to serve the new God concept, he rebuilt a neglected soil in what was later to become the land of Israel that added to the physical well-being of the world. In his own life and in his deeds, he combined heavenly concepts with earthly precepts and fathered a new nation dedicated eternally to the worship of one God. Thus it is when we think of Abraham and the other giants of our classical history, we have illusions of great men born to colossal achievements. The small daily moral challenges we face seem so petty and inconsequential as compared to the broad canvas of an Abraham or a Moses that we let it slip by. Abraham knew that he had created a new world because he had saved only one soul. Our rabbis tell us that he who saves one life is considered to have saved the whole world. Each in our own limited way must meet the moral challenges of our daily life as if each one meant the rise or fall of an entire world. The small contributions which the individual makes to the development of a better world is the keystone of a solid structure. One is so important. One is the beginning. If each one of us only begins, do you think that God won't help?
Thank you, Mr. Sinkoff. Our eternal light drama today, One Tree in the Desert, was written by Joseph Mendel. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Donald Buca as Abram, Santos Ortega as the King, William Lipton as Peleg, Edgar Staley as Terra, William Redfield as Heron, Robert Carroll as Jabal, Joseph Julian as the Executioner, and David Gothard as the narrator. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Edward King. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.